Follow the impressions of our mind this morning. We'll draw your attention to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Starting with verse 1, the word of the Lord reads, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." I'm pretty sure that these words that I've read to you this morning have been read by many of you before, and some of the points that are on our hearts and minds in regards to some of these things have been spoken before. I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Genesis and through the Old Testament. I don't know. I remember the first effort that we made to read through the Bible as a family was after Sister Alice and I had joined the church, and of course we started in Genesis at the beginning of the year. She was with child with Billy at the time that we engaged in this endeavor. It was early 2006, and we enjoyed greatly reading these things that we felt like were familiar to us, but never read them from one end to the other like that. And you know, with the oldest, it was something that we wanted to do. We wanted to read to him while he was in his mother's womb. Wanted him to know our voice whenever he was born. You know, when it got after about number two or three, the only voices that the ones who were in the womb knew around us were the voices of the hollering going on around them of all the other little ones. I'm sure some of y'all can probably relate. It's not a whole lot of time to do that sort of reading when some of the other ones are small and trying to get them in bed. We try to read, of course, but not just specifically speaking to the baby there in the womb. But there's something that bears upon our hearts and minds this morning. And I'm sure that each and every one of us today believes that the Lord speaks to us. I believe he speaks to us in the gospel. I believe he does. Trust you believe the same. I believe he speaks to us in his word. We have the word of God. If we want to know what the will and way of God is, we can read his word. It speaks to us. But you know, God's word records that God in an audible voice, and whether or not it was an audible voice that everyone around him heard, whether or not it was a speech directly to the mind of his saints, there's no way to tell. But that he speaks to his people. Speaks to us. You know, of course, we remember the Apostle Paul on his road to Damascus whenever the Lord struck him down. And I believe, gave him life on the road to Damascus. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I believe Paul was born again on that road to Damascus. I believe that. And I believe that those that were around him, they heard a sound that came down from heaven upon him whenever he received the Spirit of God. And the Lord told him to kick not against the prince. The Lord spoke unto him. I can't tell you what it sounded like. Said it sounded like thunderings is what the Scripture says, is what they observed. But I'm not looking at it from the observers, from those around him. I want to look at it this morning from the people that he spoke unto, that he said some things to. The Scripture here didn't say that the Lord spoke unto those that were around Abraham. It said he spoke to Abraham. He spoke directly unto him. You know, you can go back to the early creation in Genesis chapter 1. Scripture says that whenever he created man, that he said unto him, he said, be fruitful, multiply. Verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. He spoke directly unto them. They had to hear it directly from God. You know, I remember not too long ago, there was a talk show host that mentioned that it's all right for us to talk to God, but it gets a little weird whenever we think that God's talking to us. Well, you know, it's a little weird to me to talk to somebody and them not talk to me back. You know, I might look at that a little differently than they do. You ever just talk to somebody and them act like you're not even saying anything to them? That's a little weird to me. I don't really prefer that form of communication. It doesn't mean that I'm scared of silence. You know, some of these folks, these sociologists, say that somebody that's scared of silence, that they don't have any confidence about. I'm sitting silent just as well as anybody else can. But if I'm talking to somebody, you sort of expect they're going to talk to you back. Well, you know, if you talk to the Lord, don't you expect that the Lord is going to speak unto you in return? Don't you know that the voice of the Lord spoke unto Adam and Eve, and he told them these, he commanded them to do this. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. He spake directly unto them. Don't you know, as you go on down and you read through the book of Genesis, and you see there in Genesis chapter 3 where he spoke judgment, he spoke unto the serpent, and he told him that because of what he had done, that there was going to be judgment that comes forth. He spoke unto Eve and said because of what she had done, there was going to be judgment upon her. He spoke directly unto Adam in Genesis chapter 3, and he told them because of what you've done, this is what the consequences of sin is. Thorns and thistles are going to grow on this ground. He told him that directly. He spake directly unto him. Cain. Genesis chapter 4. Spoke directly unto Cain. How does this, you know, don't tell me that anybody can be a Bible believing person and believe that the Lord does not speak unto us. Surely he speaks unto us. And I don't know how direct it is. And there's times that you feel that you're listening to him, and there's times that you believe that he is. But you just want, every once in a while, just want him to sigh and say, Lord, are you speaking unto me? I believe that he speaks unto us. I believe he spake unto Noah. And he gave him the commandments to make the ark of gopher wood. He spoke a form of salvation unto Noah. You know, it doesn't matter to me how weird people think I am if I believe that the Lord is speaking unto me. It doesn't bother me. In the days of Noah, whenever those things were going as they were, don't you know that everybody just thought everything was hunky-dory, that the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair? You know, we can say this with a smile, I guess, but what better life can you get? The Lord's blessed you with beautiful women to be about you, is the way that a lot of them felt during that day. Everything's fine. What's wrong with this environment? Tell you what's wrong with it. Is they weren't observing it in accordance with the ways and will of God. But the Lord spoke unto Noah. He spoke directly unto Noah, and he said, you make an ark of gopher wood. And you go there to the beginning of Genesis chapter 7, and the Lord speaks unto Noah. He speaks an invitation directly unto Noah, and he says, take thou and thy family and go into the ark. He spoke that unto Noah. He said it directly to him. Come here to Abraham. Abram. Doesn't matter to me whether or not I'm talking about Abraham before the Lord changed his name to Abraham or before. I always call him Abraham. And it doesn't mean that I don't think there's some significance in the name change. If it wasn't significant, the Lord wouldn't have put it in there. But you know who I'm talking about. And there's three saints I want to look at this morning. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to look at what the Lord spoke unto them. And what he said unto them. Because what you'll see whenever you see him speaking unto them is that he's telling them, first of all, some things to do. You believe in the things you need to do, religion? He said, no, we don't believe that. Salvation is by grace, Brother Whip. We don't believe in a thing we need to do, religion. That's the world. You know what I'm talking about. Thing you need to do, religion. He speaks unto them. And he tells them something that they need to do. And I want to tell you, if the Lord ever tells you something that you need to do, you'd be well to observe what he says to do. Speaking from God's word, that it be wise. Speaking from experience, it would be wise. It would be wise. Scripture says that if all the things that the Lord had done had been written in a book, that the world itself could not contain the pages thereof. I'm beginning to wonder of the times that I have not listened unto the Lord whenever he's told me to do. I wonder how big of a book I could write about my life and the things that the Lord has spoken unto me and told me to do, that I've just wondered whether or not it's the Lord talking to me. Man. I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord spoke unto Abram, he spoke unto Abraham, he told him some things to do. He said, and he had said unto Abram. Now remember this. As you can see that Abram was on the move in Genesis chapter 11. He already started to move. Chapter 12 said that the Lord had said. So it tells me that Abram began to move upon the commandment of the Lord. And if you go over to Acts chapter 7 and you read the sermon of Stephen, what you'll see is that the Lord visited Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia, in the land of his fathers. That's what is recorded in Genesis chapter 11, where he was. And that the Lord visited him there and said, get thee up out of thy father's house. And you go into a land that I will shew thee. Get up. Go on. You know, and we hear this and we say, well, surely, how hard is that? You know, it's not hard whenever you're talking about, if you ever hear an unction. You know, when I think about unctions that I seem to listen to pretty often, I listen to the unction of my stomach. There's not many times that my stomach says, go get something to eat. That I say, I don't know if that's really my stomach talking or just my head. Or maybe this isn't something that is truly speaking unto me. I tend to just take it of a mind that it's my stomach talking. And I go. And whenever I get that unction to make another trip to the place where we can eat and feed, it doesn't seem to bother me just to get up and go. But you know, sometimes whenever the Lord speaks unto us and he tells us to do something, in spite of the fact that it's the Lord that's told us to do it, and if the Lord has ever told you to do something, he's with you in what he's told you to do. Sometimes we doubt. And listen, it's because of what he told you. Get thee up out of thy father's house. Leave your comfort zone. You know, I don't suppose whenever I was in the house of my father, I don't suppose I ever had a fearful thought in my mind that something was going to bother me. I don't remember as a child, and I think it bears on me today. Sister Allison will wake me up sometimes and say, I heard something outside, and I'll just say, just go back to sleep. It was probably nothing. You know, that comfort that I had there, it still carries on me today. I'm just sort of at peace. I suppose if I'm going to go, I'd rather do it just sleeping there as I would anything. There's a comfort there. It's a place where you've been taken care of. It's a place where somebody has taken care of you. And here the Lord, He comes to Abram and says, you get up and you get out of that place. He didn't do it that way, by the way. If you're familiar with here the end of chapter 11 and you're familiar with Acts chapter 7, he didn't get up out of his father's house. He took his father and his nephew with him. Remember? Took him with him. It's not what God said to do. The Lord stalled him, I believe, before he led him into the land that he was shooting until his daddy died, but then he led him on. Whenever you see him speaking unto these saints, what you see is that the Lord is telling them to do something, not only giving them a commandment, but then giving them a promise to accompany the commandment unto a land that I will shew thee. In other words, you don't know where it is yet. But I'm telling you to go. You can't find the map and put your finger on it. But I'm telling you to go. Says, I'll shew it to you. But first you got to do it. There's some sequential blessings from God. That is, when you do the first part, then He gives you the next part. You know, you could look at it a lot like if you wanted to see something in your mind from a carnal standpoint, not from anything ungodly, I don't believe, but you know, there are certain games where you play where you go from one station to the next, you get a clue at the next one, you go to the clue, get a clue at the next one. You move as you have the clues and as you have the direction to go. They told Abram to get up. You go into a land I'll shew thee. Look at what he's going to do for him and a promise. It says in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. And there's not a religion around that doesn't trace their roots through Abraham. Every religion does. They in some way, shape, form, fashion believe that their faith traces back through Abraham. You want to talk about a great nation? You want to talk about making a great name of him? He says, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And make thy name great. Now shall be a blessing. See, commands accompanied with promise. Because where our Lord gives a command, where our Lord tells us to go, it is indeed a place where He intends to bless in one way or another. I doubt there's any of us here today that are looking to make a name for ourselves. Is that what you're in life for? To make a name for yourself. See, some of us, we can read this and we can get the wrong impression that somehow, well, I believe the Lord's telling me, but I ain't interested in making a name for myself. Well, I believe Abraham was a humble man. The Lord's not telling him that He's going to lift him up to a pinnacle of being a God. It's not what He's saying unto him at all. What He's saying unto him is that there's something that lies ahead that you need to do, that in doing that, there's going to be a great many people that are behind you that are going to look and say, man, because of him doing what the Lord called him to do, more blessing. Says, I'll bless them that bless thee. Verse 3. Curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Commandments. Promises. See, look here in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 12. He said, unto the Lord appeared, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, don't lose that. Don't lose that communication. This is the Lord speaking unto Abram. I can't stand before you every time I preach the gospel and tell you that I'm the Lord speaking unto you. It wouldn't be right for me to do it. Now, it wouldn't be wise for you to think that the Lord somehow is not using some of the things I say to guide and lead you and direct you in the way of truth and the way of walk with the Lord. That wouldn't be right. I don't have the authority of the Lord. But I want to tell you, the Lord spoke directly unto Abram, and he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Promises. You go, I'll give. He went. There he's in the land. Builds an altar unto the Lord because he's come to the place that the Lord said he'd lead him to. That was a drought. He kept moving on down through, and he went on down into Egypt. We know what happened down there. Come up out of there with things that weren't the best for him. He and his nephew get in a quarrel. He and his herdmen and his nephew's herdmen get into a quarrel to the point where here they have to separate and go separate ways. But then immediately, you know, it tells me that here the Lord, when he calls him, he gives him a promise. When he goes, he's still reassuring him in the promise. When he faces conflict, whenever he and his nephew, they have to part ways. You know, there's some times in our life when that's what we have to do. You remember Paul and Barnabas? They had a dispute over John Mark. John Mark had left them in the heat of the battle, and when it came time to go on another trip, Barnabas said, let's call John Mark. And Paul said, I done been burned by him one time. I've already been burned by him one time. Goes to tell you that confidence goes along. It didn't mean he didn't forgive John Mark. Didn't mean he said, I'm going to hold this error over John Mark. It just meant I don't have any confidence in him. What does it say whenever we're in the midst of the battle and we face opposition and one of the soldiers that are supposed to be encouraging these folks to come out from where they are and come over here where we are? What does it speak? What are we saying unto these people if we can't even handle the heat? So he said, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. So what did they do? They had to go their own way. People say, who was right and who was wrong? It ain't about who was right and who was wrong, because the Lord blessed both parties when they departed from that place. Bless Paul and Silas. Bless Barnabas. I'm letting the name slip me who went with him, but we'll find it whenever, if we want to, one of these days. There's in Acts chapter 15. But they took him with them, and the Lord blessed both, but they had to go their own way. See, their lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram dwelt there in the plains. Scripture says, if you look in Genesis chapter 13, that after they both found their place where they were going, verse 14, in Genesis chapter 13 says, and the Lord said, here we go again. You sure we got to believe that the Lord speaks unto us? And the Lord said this unto Abram. After Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Can you imagine such a sight? Of as far as you could see. And it's important that we're familiar with the geology of the region over there. Because, you know, you might could look out in these mountains of North Georgia and say, as far as you can see, it's going to be yours. And it not be that far. Mountains. Can't see as far as you can on the flatland. I remember the first trip we made to Mississippi. We went on a duck hunting trip in 1999, I believe it was. And it was the first time I'd ever seen the delta of Mississippi and been out there on that flat country. And you couldn't get a perspective about how far you could see until you looked way just as far as you could see. And that was a tractor way down at the other end of that road that they were coming back towards the highway with. And it was as small as a gnat on the window. You could see forever. Just look from one side, just way out there. I won't tell you there wasn't any mountains in this country, because of course if you remember when the Lord sent the angel down to Sodom, he told Lot to go into the mountains. And old Lot, being the city boy he was, he said, no, I don't want to go in the mountains. Let me go over here in one of these other cities. So there were mountains there. But the Lord said, and he gave him a promise, and he said, even though you've gone through this, look at what I'm going to give you. I'm going to bless you. And he showed him the promise. Restated again the promise. This is yours. He said, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. What's the tense of the word seed there? Seed doesn't always have to be singular. It can be plural. When I plant turnip seeds, don't you? There's a whole little pack of them. Seeds, plural. But the Lord said in the book of Galatians, he said, I say not unto thee as of seeds as of many, but seed as of one. Because what he was given unto him was a promise of the seed of Abraham, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, will be of the dust of the earth. There's only going to be a handful of us in heaven, isn't there? Just a few saints who held on until the end and kept the faith and didn't, and being the very elect that cannot be deceived. That's all that's going to be up there, isn't it? Just a handful of us. I bet it won't be a dozen of us. Start counting heads and make you worry a little bit, won't it? That's not the religion we believe. Oh, no. He said, look at the one that's coming forth from thy loins. It's Jesus Christ. Thy seed shall be of the dust of the earth. And I want to tell you, the Lord gave his life for me. When it speaks of the wicked, it's a lake of fire. When it speaks of the righteous, it's as dust of the earth, the sand of the seashore. It's a multitude. People say, Brother Will, you think there's only going to be a small amount in hell and a great number in heaven? That is exactly what I believe, because I believe that's what the Bible says. I believe that's what he says. I'm like what my grandma said whenever I visited her and she was in her later years. I went by to see her in the nursing home, and she had just had a little bit of a mix-up with the nurse there. She didn't take her medicine like she should. She didn't like to drink water. They brought her a little bit of water with some pills, and that nurse stood there and she said, I'll take them. She said, nurse, yeah, take them. She said, my grandson's here. He'll make sure that I take them. She says, no, I have to make sure you take them. So she had to drink that little bit of water. But I remember that conversation very well. She said, there'll be more there than what people think will be there. Because see, here on this side, in our eyes, sometimes we begin to make ourselves the judge and thinking that because of the unrighteousness of some, surely they can't go. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Do you believe that this morning? And because it's by grace and not by works, it'll be as the sand of the seashore. It'll be as the dust of the earth. Abraham, look, it's a promise. Now, God is a covenant-keeping God. He said, you go, and this is what the promises are. Abraham asked the Lord in Genesis chapter 15. After the Lord has spoken unto him, he says, give me a sign. How do I know? It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. He says, how do I know? How do I know? I don't want to go all into this morning, but the Lord gave him a vision of a covenant during that day. A time when the animals were split in half. A time that the way that two would enter into an agreement during that day was to carry forth these actions that you see. But when you go and you read this, make sure that you always remember Abram was not one of the ones that passed between those halved animals. He was not one of the ones. It's because the covenant, even though with Abraham, was not with Abraham. Do you understand? It was with Abraham's representative. There was a covenant made with us. But you and I weren't there in person. You and I were there in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was our representative in that covenant. Show me and how I know. Says if you look a little bit further down. Verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years. You see, we don't have perfect knowledge. And I'm not standing up here before you to teach that this morning. We have hope. But if your hope does not have some assurance in it, there is no hope in complete ignorance. Because if you're given hope in the new birth, and you're given knowledge in the new birth of some things, guess what hope accompanies is knowledge. And whenever you read the word of the Lord, you have some things that you can see as evidence that give assurance unto the hope that is within thee. Know of a surety. Now, can I stand here and tell you I know I'm going to glory? I cannot. But I'm not going to let you tell me I'm not. How about that? Can I stand here and say over anybody that I know, no. But I'm going to do my best if you ask me to speak over your dead body one of these days to encourage those that are on the saints that you're in a better land this day because of the hope that is within us. And that's what the Lord spoke unto Abraham here. And he tells him some prophecy. He says, and also that nation, he said, shall serve them. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And he's given them prophecy to accompany the promises. I wonder how often the saints that were in Egypt during the days in which they were in bondage remembered these words that the Lord spoke unto Abram. He said we'd be here. We're here. But he says we're going to come out. Do you visit the promises of God every once in a while? And say, we're in these earthen vessels. We're here. But it says we're going to come out. It says we're going to come out in a different way. Even though in these bodies you shall see God. I want to tell you, there's going to be a difference between this body and the body you're going to have on that day. There's going to be a difference. Sister Allison folded my collar down for me on my shirt today. She still had a little makeup on her hand. It's on the back side of my collar. And she said, you're not going forth without a blemish today. I'm going to say, if that's the worst blemish this old boy's got, woo, man, it'll be all right. Commandments, promises. Go with me over to Genesis chapter 26. Isaac, the son of Abraham. He's the very child of promise. Of course, Jacob and Esau are born. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. See, if you'll remember back in Genesis 12, whenever we read to you, whenever Abram got to the land of promise, what he found was a famine. Now, whether or not if he would have gone on in a commandment, in obedience to the commandment of the Lord when the Lord first called him, if he'd gone like the Lord called him, who knows if he'd have found a famine and continued down through the land into Egypt because it was a famine in that land. I'm convinced that if he'd gone when the Lord told him to go, that he wouldn't have found a famine there. He probably found a good land in good shape, and he'd just been able to stay right there as opposed to go down into Egypt like he did. I wish Abram was as perfect as us, don't you? I wish he was a can't do no wrong like you and I were, but he did. But here's a famine in the land, and Isaac, the scripture says, went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, well, make sure you pay attention to that. This is the Lord speaking unto Isaac. The Lord appeared unto him and he said something. He said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee... Well, let me stop right there. What do you see first of all? You see a commandment. You see the Lord telling him to do something. Now, he's not in the land of promise. He's in the land of Gerar. He's there under the authority of Abimelech. But he tells him, you stay here. You go not down into Egypt. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. That commandment is true. Still is today. There's still, Egypt is not only over in the over in North Africa, okay? There's a country over there named Egypt, and this is there. But that's not the only Egypt. We understand that? Egypt is a symbol of the world. And when it comes to some help, don't you go down to the world for help. Look at what Abraham did and realize it would have been better if he didn't. You don't go down there. You dwell where you are. There's a commandment. There's a commandment to do something. There's a commandment to not do something. Despite the image and view that people have of God today, that he's just one that's all positive. And that is, he'd never tell you not to do something because he doesn't speak in a negative connotation. That would hurt our feelings. And that would be bad. That would be bad. No. He said, don't do something and do something. Don't go down into Egypt. Dwell where you are. There are times throughout the Old Testament history of the people of God where the Lord issued commandments to dwell in land that is not His promised land and that He would bless them there. If you'll remember, when the children of Israel were taken to Babylon for captivity, the Lord told them, you continue to live there as you are in the land of promise. You build houses, you bear children, you continue on. You live. Because I'm going to bring you out of there. And when I bring you out of there, you're not going to be desolate and destitute of anything because you've obeyed my commandment and you're living there as if you are in the land of promise. Well, that's what he told Isaac. He said, you stay here. What did he tell him? He says, I will give. He says, and I will be with thee. Sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. And I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Boy, there's an innumerable number again. You can't escape it. The legalist cannot escape the multitude of the children of God. There's no way around it. If it's by something that we're doing, if it's by the gospel that we preach, guess what? It's only reaching a minute portion of all of mankind. But it's not by that. Because it's by God's grace and by the blood. By His blood, you can't escape the innumerable host of the family of God. He says, "Now we'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and we'll give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Did Isaac just believe it and just say, "That's right, he said it, I'm going to be blessed right here. The Lord's going to look after me and bless my seed to multiply"? Or did he turn right around and repeat a lie that his daddy had already been rebuked for twice? What happened? He turned right around and didn't believe in the promises of God. He stated that Rebekah was his sister. Man, to the great judgment of God upon the house of Abimelech for what he did. And he didn't believe it. Promises is what he gave him. When the Lord gives us a promise, when he speaks unto us, when he tells us, we need to take heed. We need to listen unto him. We need to believe that the promises of God are yea and amen. We need to trust him. You don't need to duck and dart around. You can say he's told me. I'd never intentionally not fulfill a promise to my child. I can't say, people say, "Brother Webb, have you fulfilled all your..." I have not. We got back in last Saturday afternoon. And I had one of mine want to throw the ball with me. And I said, "I'll be home in time this week to do it one afternoon." You know how many afternoons I made at home in time to throw a ball with you? Not one. Did yesterday, thank the Lord. But you know what? I told him that I'll be home one afternoon in time this week to be able to do it. And you know what I did? I was not. What did I do? I didn't fulfill my promise. I'm going to tell you, God's not like us. The Lord fulfills it. And I don't want to make light of the situation that Isaac found himself in. He didn't believe that God dwelt over that house that he was dwelling in the house of Abimelech in the land of Gerar. He didn't believe that the Lord was upon these people. He was scared. And he lied and told them that Rebekah was his sister. Man, the Lord visited that house, closed up their wounds, is what the Scripture says that the Lord did in judgment upon them. But the Lord spake unto him, and he gave him a promise. And regardless of the challenges and the situations we find ourselves in, if the Lord leads you somewhere upon a promise, upon a commandment of Him, and upon the promises that He's going to be with you, He'll be with you. He'll be with you. Genesis chapter 31. Jacob. Jacob's gone to Laban. Previously in chapter 30, and is asked to be relieved. Laban beckoned him to stay. Of course, if we continue to read down, we read where the Lord blessed Jacob to even grow beyond that point in regards to his cattle. We come to verse 3 of Genesis chapter 31. And the Lord said unto Jacob, the Lord said this unto Jacob, spoke it directly unto him. He said, "Return unto the land of thy fathers." See, the land of the fathers meant the land of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham is a symbol in Scripture of faith. We all understand that. When you go to Romans chapter 4, go to Hebrews chapter 11, there's a figure in it that stands out. It's Abraham. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land. There was no way that by natural means, just trusting in our natural ways, that Sarah could bear a child. being of the years that she was. If I remember right, having not visited those years in some time, I believe she was 75 and Abraham 90. But it wasn't about what they could achieve naturally. It was about what they could achieve spiritually. You see, Ishmael, the son of a bondwoman, the son of Hagar, son of Abraham's bondmate, was what you view and you see from a natural standpoint. But Isaac was a result of being a child of promise. He was a promised child. Land of thy fathers. Land of faith. Land of blessings. Land of promises. Spake unto him. Gave him a commandment. Return. See, there's things in Scripture that I can tell you by all authority of the Word of God that you don't need to return to. Man, there's a walk of life. And if you don't have it in your past, I'm thankful for you and I love you. But I can't relate to that. See, there's a walk of life in my path that I know if you tell me I need to return to, I'm going to say the Lord is not speaking through you. The Lord's not speaking through you. Filth and nastiness that I dare say I wouldn't even stand up here and talk about. But I don't mind telling you because I believe it'll make the point. Any man having put his hand in the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So return. Well, hold on a minute. The Bible must be contradiction itself because it says any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit. So if we're supposed to be looking forward, how can we return? Looking back and revisiting those things. Living in them. Having them drag you down all over again will not benefit you at all. You won't be fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God requires some fitness. It's not bodily exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't mean it doesn't profit at all. It says it profiteth little. But exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Make you fit for the kingdom of God. But he gives him a commandment. He says, you return. You go unto the land of thy fathers. Unto the land of thy kindred. And he says, I will be with thee. Promise. Commandment. Promise. Don't you know he needed him? See, he had some things that he fled. He had some things that he got up in a hurry and he got away from. One of them was his brother Esau. He deceived his brother. He did. People say, well, it was in fulfillment of the birthright that Esau. I understand, but he deceived his brother. His brother wanted to slay him. If it was so righteous what he did, why didn't he just stand in the face of it whenever he did it instead of fleeing away? That's the conclusion I come to. If what he did was such a righteous act in putting the hair upon his arms and making the venison stew from the goats, if what he did was so right, then why did he and her have to just hop up and go? But he had to go back through him and he had to face him. But the Lord said, I'll be with thee. Comes to find out he didn't only have to face Esau. He had to face Laban before he got halfway back there. He had to face the challenges of a community where his son slew the sons who wronged his daughter, or who they felt like wronged his daughter. He had a lot of things he had to face, but the Lord gave him a promise. Said, I will be with thee. There you have it. You have the Scripture telling us that the Lord speaks. The Lord accompanies His commandments with promises. Doesn't matter whether or not you go all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve, whether or not you visit the Lord's speech unto Cain, whether or not you visit the Lord's speech unto Noah, whether or not you visit the Lord's speech unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord spoke directly to Abimelech. He spoke directly unto him whenever he came unto him. And I know that whenever we see these events lay out, there's times in the scriptures when we see that there was an angel of the Lord that came and spoke. And I'm not discounting what the angel of the Lord says. But in these accounts, the Lord spoke directly and He spoke unto them. May the Lord bless us whenever the Lord speaks, to obey and to believe the things that He's saying unto us. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.